Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's get it, man. A little bit after 11 p.m. on The Fan in New York, Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, talking sports. Let's talk about the Mets. It's just a better vibe, better energy. And let's get right to the phone because we have some people coming from the Met game. Carl in Beacon Falls, Connecticut. You're on The Fan. Go for it, Carl.
Yeah, I'm heading back from the game. I feel very fortunate because this is the second time this month I get to call you on the way home. This time, first time it took just my son. This time it took the whole fam. Down 5-2. So pumped that they came back. Love Bay's homer. I love the bottom of the lineup with Albie coming back, with Alvarez coming back. What I think the hope is, like, down the stretch, because even McNeil's kind of hitting now. I mean, you hope they get some arms at the deadline because I think the rotation is much worse off than the lineup. I love the lineup tonight. Tomorrow it'll probably be Mauricio where Acuna was. But I feel like, you know, hopefully those kids who are inconsistent, like, come around. I know the top of the lineup hasn't been meshing that well either, but, like, I think you got to keep Lindor, Soto, and Alonso together in that lineup, wherever they are, 2, 3, 4, wherever. But don't put anybody in between them. I love Nemo wherever, you know, because that dude just performs. It's just good stuff.
Thanks for the call, Carl. And, you know, Alonso had the day off dealing with something. But the top of the order above Alonso, they all drive in runs. Nimmo had an RBI. Lindor had an RBI. Soto with 2 big RBIs that tied the game. But, man, I mean, Brett Beatty homers again. I think that's his second in the last 3 games. And, you know, you're even getting production out of guys like Mauricio. And Alvarez coming back is the big boost and the key. So the young guys, the quote-unquote baby Mets, coming through, not the Fab Four, the Flushing Four, the Met Quartet, whatever. It's a team win. When you look at how many guys threw out of the bullpen to pick up Kodai Senga, it's a team win and it's a good vibe. They had every reason to lay down, and they could have lost that game 5-2, 5-3, and they rally back and get it done. And you needed that, like I said, coming off of losing to the Reds back-to-back games to start the David Wright weekend and absolutely kill the vibes. You needed that. So now, you know, you take the first game, you feel pretty good about getting one out of the next 2. Keep the streak going. You win tomorrow, then you win the series, and you actually have a winning streak there, and you try to push forward into this deadline where, yeah, there's going to be a few options. Before I said, you know, I was reading an article. There was an article on MLBTradeRumors.com that the Mets are willing to trade from their infield depth. And, you know, that's a collection of Brett Beatty, Ronnie Mauricio, Mark Vientos, and I forgot to add Luis Angel Acuna, you know, because there's just so many guys. We'll play some audio from David Stearns talking today. I also have Aaron Boone postgame queued up. Let's get another Mets call in before we get to the Yankee fans. What's up, Bill? Yorktown. You're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Look, I understand your pessimism about your Yankees, but I'm telling you, man, that's Mets fans are fired up because that was a hell of a win tonight. And Mets, I think they're deep all over the place. They got 2 great catchers right now. Infield is loaded. Pitching, you know, not many teams have great pitching, and they're all the teams in the league pretty much trying to patch it together. But that was one hell of a win. And the Mets are looking good in my book, and I don't see why you think it's going to be so hard for them to do better than the Yankees. I don't see the Yankees getting past Detroit.
Yeah, well, not so much. I'm not talking about, like, Mets versus Yankees. The Mets can finish with a better record than the Yankees. The Mets can win their division and the Yankees don't. What I'm saying is all we talk about is World Series, Subway Series, Fall Classic being Mets versus Yankees. And I think that there are just so many teams in the National League that they have to go through versus the Yankees. Yes, the Tigers, the Astros. But, I mean, the Yankees right now are looking like they can't even get through probably 2 of the 3 teams that they have to deal with in the American League East.
No, I'm not worried about Mets Yankees. I'm just rooting for the Mets. And like I said, coming up to the trade deadline, maybe we'll pull some lightning out of a bottle. We have the depth. We obviously have money if it's needed. I assume that might be part of it. And I just think, you know, wow, that was an awesome win. And I think the Mets win a few more games, get some momentum going, and let's go. Let's go Mets.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be Mets versus Yankees. It's not, you know. It's funny, I did hear BT lean into something that I had said over the weekend. Now, he went a little further than I did, but I was talking about how, like, the Mets and the Yankees are checking in on a lot of the same guys. Definitely a lot of the relief pitchers, but, I mean, everybody needs relief pitchers. So whatever top relievers are available, both are looking for. I think you got to believe in David Stearns. Like I said, I already gave him credit for popping out. He consistently pops out and does these media availabilities where he's live. You can watch them on Twitter. You can watch them on YouTube. You know, here's one. David Stearns was asked if it's desirable for the Mets to have set players at second base, third base, and center field. As Bill was just talking about their depth, they are going to maneuver. They're going to trade some of their pieces. They do have a lot of depth. Let's hear what the president of baseball operations had to say about that today.
Not really. I think, look, it's desirable to have players continue to improve. We want to have good players. Ultimately, if you get to really good players or all-star caliber players, then yes, you sort of own your position. And we certainly have some of those on the roster. And so that would be wonderful if someone were to take a step forward and solidify himself as a really good everyday regular. Probably makes Mendy's job a little bit easier to make out the lineup card every day. From a roster construction standpoint, like we have 26 roster spots, and we want to use them all. And if that means certain positions need to be timeshares, then certain positions will be timeshares.
Yeah. Now, you know, he talked also today about Jeff McNeil playing center field. Everybody knows that they're trying to upgrade at that position with Tyrone Taylor. But they said they do feel comfortable with Jeff. Jeff, I wouldn't sleep on anything. I wouldn't sleep on their ability to go add arms and position players, and Stearns being a smart guy, being able to wheel and deal, and knowing what he has to work with here. I just think you saw him last year revamp the bullpen. I expect that to happen again, and I expect there to be another bat, maybe two. Like, for the Met fan, I would say dream big. Like, get your hopes up, because you have an owner who talked about a World Series, winning a World Series in this window, right? I think this would be the first window closing, but he opened up another window where he said he hopes to win two World Series in 10 years. Okay, so, you know, of course he's given David Stearns the green light to go there and at the deadline and get whoever can help the team. And I think the biggest thing for the Mets is this. In these regular season games where your big money guys don't come through with runners in scoring position, where Lindor is struggling right now, where Juan Soto hasn't necessarily been the Juan Soto that you thought you were getting, Pete Alonso is hurt and going through a little something right now. But those guys are postseason proven. They're October proof. They're playoff proof. So when you get into those big moments, when you get into those tight parts of the game, you expect those guys to have ice in their veins, slow heartbeat, and pull you through. Now, they got to figure out the pitching in the bullpen. They got to figure out the rotation. They got to figure out if Clay Holmes is going to the bullpen, those type of things. But you have those guys at the top of the order, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, and then even some of the baby Mets coming along. Vientos is a guy that you have to include in postseason. He's performed like postseason proof and proven. If they do hang on to Brett Beatty, I think he's the most likely now. Acuna maybe goes somewhere, maybe, I don't know, maybe even a Mauricio. I think that they have plenty talent. They just need to get the rotation together and the bullpen together, and you'll feel pretty good about their course. They're still very much in play to win the NL East. They're still very much in play to do whatever in the National League. When I talk about there being so many teams in the National League, yeah, there's a lot of competitive teams that you're going to have to fight through. But then at the same time, you're one of those competitive teams with a legit home field advantage in Citi Field. You know, trust in David Stearns to get you the pieces, and trust that you have an owner that wants to win now. After he got to feel what it felt like to get to the NLCS, he's going to be pushing his president of baseball operations to make moves. Now on the Yankee side, it's not Mets versus Yankees, but like the Yankees do things differently. And my confidence isn't so high. I know Cashman says he's going to go to town. I don't know what to expect. I think with all this hype around Spencer Jones to the point where MLB is posting him, like everybody's now calling and asking for Spencer Jones. George Lombard is off limits. Everybody's calling up asking for Spencer Jones. We're going to get to the Yankee calls in a minute. I'll take another Met call because there's a good segue right after we talk to Gregory down in Atlanta. What's up, Greg? You're on the Fan.
Hey, great show as always, man. But, you know, I got to chime in. I'm going to stand on this right up to the end of the season, brother. Hitting coach got to go. I'm just sorry for the mess. He's got to go. Francisco Alvarez goes away on vacation. Well, we're going to put in the work.
So Aaron and all of a sudden,
he's hitting. Hopefully, he'll stay the hell away from the hitting coach in the dugout. He'll be just fine.
Well, you know, Francisco Alvarez talked a lot. He said he had to really work on himself. And, like, you, of course, you give credit to the hitting coach down there in Syracuse. I don't know who that is. But also, you give credit to Francisco Alvarez. And even listening to Stearns talk today, he talked about how he thought, you know, Francisco Alvarez might not have handled it well, or it might have taken some days to adjust. No, he went down there and worked. He said Francisco Alvarez says he made probably even more drastic adjustments to his swing this season, but he feels that he's now more confident in who he is as a player and a person as he rejoins the Mets. And if you see how he waited and drove that ball that he almost hit out today, like, he looks locked in. I don't know if they're going to fire their hitting coach, but it's definitely a conversation that I know Mets fans are having, because there's a few guys struggling that are supposed to be getting it done. And when you see Alvarez go down there and bop like that, hitting all those home runs and come back, it's like, hey, what are they talking to him about down there that you weren't talking to him about up here?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a correlation.
We're talking about, look what the Mets did. Let's see, Jack G writes, one thing the Mets did right over the Yankees this season was send down Alvarez. We should have sent down Volpe to figure it out in AAA. He's clearly cooked this season. Dennis says, I said that to Keith too, Jack. I said it a couple weeks ago. They should have sent Volpe down when they sent Alvarez down so he can come back with his confidence. Look, the Mets fans are seeing that change is good. And you know what? The Mets fans also showered this young man with love to say, we don't hate you. We weren't trying to get rid of you. We want better from you. We know it's in there. And that's the frustrating thing with Volpe. That's the frustrating thing with the Yankees. We know it's in there. The Yankees have given you game of the season like five times. Just in this last month of July, the comebacks, right? When you think the game is over, turn the game off. They're not dead. But they're not sending Volpe down. They don't feel like Volpe needs any fixing. Not any fixing that can be fixed with the Rail Riders. And Volpe and Alvarez, I've said this probably 10 times on the Fan. When I was in L.A. back in 2022, they were in the same futures game. They were ranked right next to each other. They were both top six prospects. But one guy was literally given the opportunity to win the position with a month-long competition in spring training and then told, you're the guy, we're not sending you. I don't know. Where I'm at with this, obviously we saw Volpe say, yeah, whatever, A-Rod, I'm not going to be the best bunter on the team. I'm not going to be swinging flat. I'm hitting uppercut. Jazz is out there sending the signals in. Boom, he's hitting the ball out. But it's not even just about the at-bats, as you see Ben Rice pinch hit for Anthony Volpe at the end of the game today. So another game doesn't end with Volpe striking out or grounding out. They spare him and they throw Ben Rice in there. There's not much of a difference. But where we're at with Anthony Volpe, he is your shortstop. There is no other answers. Is Cashman going to do something crazy and trade him? No. And what pains me as we're coming up to another deadline is we look at the left side of the infield with Peraza and Volpe, two untouchables. Two guys that could not be traded. Two guys that were non-starters, hang up the phone in conversations from 2023. And here we are in 2025. Better not trade Spencer Jones, man. I don't know what to tell y'all. Brandon is out in Texas on the Fan in New York. What's up, Brandon?
Keith, what's up, brother? How are you?
Okay. I'm all right.
Hey, man. So, dude, I honestly do not think this team is worth trading our prospects, man. We have too many holes, and there's too many teams out there, you know, that are going to be fighting for these people. And, I mean, at this point, dude, you know, just maybe trade Goldie, trade Trent, you know, and let these guys come out here and play.
I'm fine with that.
So we can do because, you know.
I'm fine with that.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Brandon. I'm fine with that. Trent Grisham, Grand Slam, sensational. The clutch cowboy. He's been great. Trade him. Like, you could literally trade him, and you have Belly that can play center field. You have Jason Dominguez that can play. Spencer Jones, send him up to play center field. Trade him. See what you get for him. There's no point in you holding on to him. And I thought about it over the weekend where I was like, yo, the Yankees don't have enough clutch in the lineup. We actually got to keep Trent Grisham. But he's still nursing a hammy. They got to monitor that. And, like, I don't know, man. I can't call it with this deadline. And I think that's because I don't really have that much faith in this team. 888-808-1019. Like, Carlos Rodon is going to take the ball in the postseason. Carlos Rodon has to make postseason starts. He's an all-star this year. But you don't trust him. I don't trust him. And tonight wasn't all his fault. It wasn't. Alejandro Kirk had his number. The walks, he did not have his fastball. But, like, I was at the game on that Friday against the Cubs when Rodon went 8 innings. The version of Rodon that pitched that night against the best offense, that wasn't what we saw tonight. After having extended time off, you could kind of predict it. Extended time off, pitched in the All-Star game. The Yankees try to line it up. The Yankees are able to barely survive and get out of Atlanta with a series win. And they line up Carlos Rodon to face the Blue Jays, and they only give him one run of support on a Stanton solo shot. They can't make the plays behind him, and you just see, you know, the same face that Rodon makes on the mound, like a bite in his lip type of face. Robbie's in Lenox on the fan next. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? You know, Keith, this is aggravating. Let me go a couple of things, and we can get your opinion on it. First of all, Cody Bellinger is one of the hottest hitters on this team. Why the hell is he not in against the right-handed pitcher?
Schedule rest after they just had the All-Star break. Right. You could schedule some rest for the guy.
Right, after you're behind three games. So that's my first point. Second point, why isn't Ben Rice playing? You know, Cody can play first base, so why not do this? Paul Goldschmidt stinks. He has 8 home runs and 37 RBIs. It's almost August. If I were the Yankees, I would tell Paul Goldschmidt, bye-bye. Play Cody at first base. Put Trent in center field. Put Judge in right.
Goldie. And play, maybe somebody needs a first baseman. Goldie has worn off for me. He started off hot, but he's turning back into what a lot of people had feared at the end of last season with the Cardinals. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's like you get rid of him. You play Cody at first base. You play Grish every day in center field. You let Dominguez play. I'm so sick of the stinking changes in the lineup and the changes in the batting order. This is not about Boone. This is about the idiot who's been there for 27 years and has won championship because he added Teixeira and he added A-Rod and he spent like crazy and CC and everybody else. Brian Cashman is the architect behind this ridiculous inability to construct the ball club. Go get me somebody who puts the damn ball in play. I mean, the approaches, Keith, are so disgusting. How about Jazz's strikeout tonight with two guys on? I mean, you couldn't hit the damn ball with a paddle on an oar, okay? It's ridiculous to watch these guys strike out. And Austin Wells, how many times have I watched Austin Wells uppercut the damn baseball? Please, please, if you're going to make trades, go out and trade some of these veterans and bring back somebody that can make a contact. Why is it that this team, do you hear the stat? This is interesting. I read this the other day. The Houston Astros have struck out 90 less times than the New York Yankees. And what do we always talk about, Keith, in the playoffs, right? 90 less times. I'm telling you, it's the gas has Galilis, Keith. 1, 2, 3, strike shot. Boom. 1, 2, 3, strike shot.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. Yeah, 12 strikeouts for the Yankees tonight. Judge had 2 of them. Goldie had 3 of them. See if anybody wants Goldie, even if it is for a couple prospects. Ben Rice plays first base. Cody Bellinger can play first base. I mean, I don't know. It's something to consider. It's something to consider, man. What they considered tonight, shout out to Yankees Avenue. They put out some numbers to consider if you're wondering why Bellinger isn't starting in the outfield or at first base tonight. He's 2-for-19 in his career against Kevin Gausman. That's a 105 average. Paul Goldschmidt is 9-for-16 off Gausman. That's a 563 average. Trent Grisham has a 936 OPS versus right-handed pitchers this year. Jason Dominguez has an 809 OPS versus right-handed pitchers this year. Bellinger has a 741 OPS versus right-handed pitchers this year. Bellinger, they said Bellinger will inevitably get into the game anyways. This is nothing new. Two guys have to begin on the bench each day. Tonight it's Bellinger and Rice. Well, maybe we can reconfigure the team at the deadline where like we could just play guys like Belly, who's been pretty hot, been pretty consistent, been one of your best hitters, and you need your best hitters in the lineup against a team that you currently trail in first place. I mean, they didn't even get anything going. Grisham had a double. Okay. Other than that, no extra base hits. Stanton's homer. They were 0 for 4 runners in scoring position. They left 7 on. We've seen them do a lot worse. Yeah. Don't forget those errors, though. Peraza with an error. Volpe with an error. Throwing errors. The ball comes to you. You are able to field it. Rodon does his job. You can't do your job. You can't do your job. What is going on? Set and throw the ball and like hit the guy. Don't make old man Goldie have to reach all the way over. Like, it's just, I don't know. Little things like that in the game. I'm like, there's the game right there. There's the game right there. They will not recover from that. You can see it on Rodon's face, and that just killed their killed their confidence. They're just gonna go down swinging. It's Jeff Hoffman's bobblehead night. You already knew it was lining up for him to come in and get the save. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. So yeah, I don't know what this team is, bro. I don't know. I don't know exactly. I know that they're gonna go for it. I know that you can't waste a year of Aaron Judge in his prime. And this is the New York Yankees. They're in the World Series last year. The whole business of the Yankees is to win and get to the postseason. And they're gonna try to do that because like they're not trying to miss out on that money in October. But as a fan of the team, watching the team, they can bring you up high just to drop you down on your head. They can do some miraculous things that make you think this is part of the championship DVD. And then there's other times where like, there's no championship DVD. One, because nobody sells DVDs. Two, because they're not going to win anything with all of these same issues that have plagued them for a long time now. Whether you want to put it on Aaron Boone, whether you want to put it on Brian Cashman, whatever. Like, how come some of these, and I know there are other teams in baseball that commit errors and base running blunders and leave runners on base and swing out of their shoes and don't have the right, but it's like, man, it's like the most inopportune times. Like Volpe, bro, Volpe. Can we cue up Boone talking about Volpe after the game? Volpe, bro, we are rooting for you. I was so happy to see your first two-homer game on Saturday. But you're the shortstop. You're the captain of the defense. After you see Peraza make a bad throw to pull Goldie off the bag, it's got to be in your head, hey, this ball comes to me. We're out of there. This ball comes to me. I'm not going to follow up and do the same thing my boy just did to my right. I got to make the throw. I got to get us out of there. And Goldie's old ass has to be locked in, too, to say, hey, if that ball does pull me off the bag, I'm getting this second one. Let's hear Aaron Boone post-game today. Spoiler alert if you already heard it or if you watched the post-game or listened. But, like, this is the job number one of Aaron Boone as Yankees manager. Do not give in to these pen pusher, these beat reporter, analytical researching nerds. They're going to say something and you tell them they're wrong. Let's hear Aaron Boone today. And specifically, you can hear Meredith when he was asked by Meredith about Anthony Volpe. And Michael Kay told us last week that, like, off camera, but not off camera because in front of a bunch of reporters earlier in the season, it was Meredith who said something about Volpe. And Boone got offensive and walked off the stage in the media room and said he's effing elite. Like, let's hear again Meredith ask it a question about Volpe and how Yankees manager Aaron Boone answers it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few too many. That said, you know, errors get handed out a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. So I'm not so worried about it. It's making plays. He's still making a lot of plays, but he hasn't been as consistent as, you know, he wants to be and as consistent as he normally is. So there's a few balls he's left on the table, you know, one tonight included. And those are plays, you know, he expects to make, and we need him to make too.
He's been walking around with ice on, I believe, his right shoulder. Is he okay? Left shoulder. Is he okay physically?
Yep.
What do you think it is then that has not allowed him to reach that consistency that he's had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a few extra errors. Like, I mean, that's, I get it. That's the separator of when he wins a gold glove and when he's not. He's still a top shortstop. He hasn't made a few plays that have generated a lot of noise.
There's also some metrics that have indicated he's taken a step back.
That's what, because he hasn't made three or four plays. That crushes you a little bit. He's still making a lot of rangy plays. He's still making a lot of plays. He just hasn't been as consistent as he has in his first 2 years, and that's three or four plays we're talking about. And a couple games here, he hasn't completed some plays, and it's changed his overall defensive season.
Yeah, bro, I'm sorry. I'm not going for it, bro. I'm not jacking it. I got to keep it a bean with y'all. Like, three or four plays, Boone, he has made three or four errors just in the Rogers Center. The last series we got swept, and then add today. Throwing errors. You can't piss on these people's head and tell them it's raining, because they do the research. They are reporters. They have metrics. They have things to tell you that Volpe's defense has regressed. And I know it's your job to defend your players, but it's getting to the point now where it's just like, what are we talking about? Is he hurt? Is he icing his left shoulder? Is that the shoulder that he hurt sliding in May? It's damn near August now. I don't know. I don't know what to tell y'all. I just am laughing through it at this point. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. The Yankees, you know, I think I heard over the weekend on The Fan, someone said, like, the Yankees are the last to know. No, they're not. They're the last to admit. They're not the last to know anything. They know everything. They just are in denial. So it's one thing to be the last to know. Right? Oh, yeah, this guy was the last to know that his girlfriend was cheating on him. No. They know. They don't care. They will tell you that you're wrong. They will die hard on their own trades, contracts, and roster decisions in hopes that, hey, Volpe has a two-homer game and kind of gets people to shut up for a day or two, and then we're right back to where we are. And it ain't just Volpe. Peraza is useless. Shouldn't be on the team. You know it, and I know it. Shouldn't be on the team. He's one of the worst hitters in baseball. We thought he was going to be either traded, but you can't trade him for anything, or DFA'd. We thought he was going to be cut. Like, in my head, I hear Susan saying that this year, coming out of spring training. I swear I heard Susan say that. But there was no place for Peraza because Pablo Reyes was making the team, and there was no place for him. Man, we need Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, that would, if Cabrera, we still don't realize. People want to say how much we don't realize what we're watching with Aaron Judge. No, we get that. We don't realize how much losing Oswaldo Cabrera hurt this damn team. They need to make moves ASAP. Rocky.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Welcome.
The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights, Big City. You know, we got a bunch of big shots. And, you know, I was like looking at the box score and looking at stuff, and I'm like, okay, who do I want to give the big shot of the night to? I think it has to be Brett Beatty Bonds. Here's another hit, Beatty Bonds. He homers again. And that homer was so big because it cut the lead in half. He also scored the go-ahead run on that error. And then he threw Mike Trout out at third. Like, Brett Beatty is kind of playing up to the point where you, like, you can't trade him. Like, they're talking about trading their infield depth. They're talking about these young guys. And Brett Beatty is another guy that they have sent down multiple times since first calling him up. Like, I don't know. Doesn't hurt to send your guys down so they can work on things. It's not a death sentence. It's not a punishment. It's for their own good. So Big shot of the night, Brett Beatty Bonds. Here's another hit, Beatty Bonds. 888-808-1019. Let's go down to Baltimore and talk to Joseph on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah, you got me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you, Joseph?
I'm good. You saw that Mets win?
I did. I was talking about Brett Beatty, and I was talking about a few different things. It was WWE night. They had this Tiffany Stratton chick there. I don't know her. I know Trish Stratus. I don't know. I'm not familiar with her. Are you familiar with this Tiffany girl?
No, I don't really watch WWE. I don't know. I'm not really into that.
Okay, so you're into the Mets?
Yeah. It's a phenomenal team. You know, they're doing, you know, absolutely amazing. Brett Beatty, like you were talking before, you know, bringing him up, you know, if those games that he really does amazing, you know, he's just really like telling the manager, like, keep me in, like, really like that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joseph. I mean, this is his first game back, and he is the future for the Mets. Not Hayden Sanger, not Luis Torrens. Those guys are temporary guys. But, you know, good to have them while your young guy can get right. You know, this guy also just had his first child. You know, it's a life-changing experience for him. And, like, he did talk about having to get right and having to work on himself. So you're happy for Francisco Alvarez. You're happy for the Met fan. Like I said, I give a lot of credit to the Met fans getting loud and welcoming him back because, you know, you've heard these guys talk about it. You've heard Soto talk about it. Like, it does mean something to them. And I think this one was a little unexpected. Like, we know Alvarez is a player that some people have hated on, some people have loved, whatever. I think, you know, the fans showing out tonight and kind of, you know, picking this young man up, he was ready to go behind the plate, which is important. Obviously with Senga and then with, you know, the different arms that came out of bullpen, would they use like five different guys out of the bullpen? And then that double he had, which was feet away, a couple feet away from being a home run. Francisco Alvarez, El Troll, a.k.a. the best, my favorite Met, number four, coming through, and he adds another bat to your lineup. He adds just swag and energy. The whole reason why I ever said he was my favorite Met, because I'm like, yo, this dude, from the first time I saw him in the Futures game, I'm like, this dude is like the future of baseball. He's got the swagger like that, the aura like that. I like his swing. I like his style. I like his confidence. I loved how he was, you know, trying to speak English last year. You know, he's got the interpreter with him right now. But, like, he has tried. He has gone out of his way to, you know, be able to speak English to communicate with the fans. I think he is going to be a fan favorite. He's got some learning to do. And I think that this last trip down to AAA was huge for him to get his swing right, get his confidence back. And it's coming at the right time for the Mets. You know, consider it a early deadline ad. You just added a bat and a catcher. And now, obviously, he helps your rotation, your bullpen, and your lineup. Anthony's in Bridgewater, New Jersey, next on the fan. Go for it, Ant.
What's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
You got it.
Couple things. First of all, I'm driving back from the Mets game. Great job by the fans tonight. I thought I wasn't expecting the big ovation for Alvarez as much as it was. Now, again, I don't know if that helped him or didn't help him today, but it sure as heck didn't hurt him. I just thought that was a great job by the Mets fans tonight. And secondly, this whole year I've been thinking trade deadline, one of the guys is going to go between Beatty, Vientos, Acuna, and Mauricio. I don't know. This is a tough thing with these guys because I feel like you're going to get rid of one of these guys that's going to be a star. I thought it was going to be Beatty. Now I'm watching him play. He's probably right now playing better than anyone. What do you think their move is going to be? Me personally, I think they're just going to stand pat with the position guys and just work on their bullpen. I think they're just going to bank on the fact that Vientos and Beatty are going to hit. I don't think they're going to mortgage a lot trying to get someone like, you know, the Diamondbacks third baseman or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to go big game hunting. Thanks for the call and relaying the actual message from being in Citi Field about how the fans were. Of course, it helped Francisco Alvarez. I don't think they're going big game hunting to give up their, you know, top prospects, guys that are playing. I think right now with what you're seeing out of Brett Beatty, he's not getting moved. Some will say, no, you trade him now because his value is the highest. No, you don't. You need him right now. You don't trade him right now because his value is the highest. Like, he's coming around at the major league level like he's looking like a pro. Luis Angel Acuna is an interesting guy that, you know, just came back up and might have some value to someone. Mark Vientos, I think, we all say it, and we're going to keep saying it. What we saw out of him in the postseason last year, there are star players in this league that have folded in October. His first opportunity, he starred. And if that is in there, they got to get that out of him. I think he's another guy off limits. Mauricio is a fringe guy. He could be included somewhere because they might see it as there's no room for him. Beatty can also play second base. If you end up having Vientos at third, and I don't know, Jeff McNeil ends up in the outfield. I think Beatty's safe. I think Vientos is safe. I think Mauricio is fringe, and I think Acuna is definitely available. As far as the pitchers are concerned, you might see some of the younger guys. Let's cue up the audio from David Stearns earlier. Let me go back to my notes. David Stearns was asked about Noah McLean and Brandon Sproat. Now, there was conversation about those guys not coming up to help the rotation or help the bullpen. He was asked the last time he met the media about, you know, those guys making spot starts, and he said he would rather not do that. But now here we are where those guys could potentially be traded, and if they're not, you know, fans want to know, hey, will we see them? So he was asked about it today, if Nolan McLean or Brandon Sproat will be pitching for the Mets this season. Here's what he had to say.
You had some shuffling on your infield, especially the bottom half of your order lately. In your mind, is it desirable to, by the end of the season, have more set regulars at second and third?
Sorry, that was the first one. We're queuing up the second one now. I think that was the first one with
the possibility of shortening up your AAA guys.
There it is.
But obviously, like, you want to be sure that they're going to be relievers at that point. I guess just with Sproat and McLean, just given their AAA numbers, is there a desire to get them here at some point this year to, you know, see what they can do?
I don't think we have to. I think it for any prospect, it's a combination of where they are in their developmental progression and where the team need is. Both those guys, I think, over the last 3 weeks have taken meaningful steps forward in their development. And I'm excited to see where it goes from here. And if there is a need, I think either of those guys could be ready over the next couple months.
So there you have it. 888-808-1019 for any of the Met fans that want to weigh in on the state of the Mets, the baby Mets, the trade deadline, what's to come with the prospects, and what's to come with the Fab Four, the top of the order, as they try to take this series from the Angels tomorrow. Let me sneak in a Yankee call, as the Yankees are just trying to get a win against the Toronto Blue Jays. The Yankees are looking at the Blue Jays like, damn, they have our number. We don't have an answer for these guys. We have thought so much about these guys, and all they do is keep winning games. All they do is beat whoever's in front of them. San Francisco Giants handled them, and they don't care if you are pitching Carlos Rodon, Max Fried, Cam Schlittler, Alan Winans, Cookie Carrasco, whoever, run it. They will see it through as they did tonight. Kevin Gausman tonight goes out there, and like I said, you've seen Gausman 300 times. They let Gausman go 7 innings of 4-hit baseball. Only that one home run, struck out 8, dominated them. And then it wasn't hard for their bullpen to finish the job. Avery's in Manhattan on the Fan next. What's up, man?
What does this mean? Errors get handed out in a lot of different ways. We're talking about a few extra errors, and he's still been a top shortstop. Are we kidding ourselves?
I mean, when he said errors get handed out in different ways, I assumed he was talking about how they're scored. And it's just use your eyes, bro. We don't have to talk about the technical, like how things get scored or like he's going above and beyond to not call a spade. He's going above and beyond to just not admit what we're all seeing. Like, Volpe has had a bad... We're 100 games in. We're 100 games in. There are 62 left. It's not early. I just got to laugh at it because it's impressive. Aaron Boone's ability to deflect, to not give in, and not let these people win, it's amazing. It's his best attribute.
I try to defend this kid, Keith. I really do. But, I mean...
So do I.
I'm finding myself thinking that these Yankees must be mobbed up in Anthony Volpe defense because I don't understand what the heck is going on. How they can possibly think that we're going to believe all this nonsense. How are you to tell me that he's a top shortstop in the game when he's... Doesn't he lead the American League in errors?
Oh, I watched the game. There's mad good shortstops.
Right.
I've been talking about these guys for a lot. Where?
It's not like I'm hearing anything new from the Yankees. I know this is the norm, but I'm still, you know, as much as it's not surprising, it continues to boggle my mind how, A, defense is still an issue for this club when the number one priority for Brian Cashman seemed to be fixing the defense this past offseason. That's number one. Number two, how they can continue to tell us these lies when the thing is in front of our face, and it's not that they're telling the lies that surprises me. That doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is the incredible lack of urgency that has been apparent all season long. And when they finally get some momentum in an Atlanta series that they can use to propel themselves in a Toronto series that is by far, far none their biggest series of the season, they come up short. They look pathetic, and it doesn't actually look like anybody in this organization cares one bit about defending the American League pennant and going out there and winning a championship. Now, does that surprise me entirely? No. No, it doesn't. But to see from the individual players who are out there on the field, the young guys, give up like this is really, really hard to stomach.
Yeah, it's not even give up, bro. It's just they fold, and you can see it on their faces. They know, that game was over in the fifth inning. Nothing changed score-wise after that. Thanks for the call, Avery. 888-808-1019. It's not so much, it's just like, baseball is hard. But there are some, you got to have these plays. And, I know some of you guys listen and played. I stopped playing by the time I got to high school. But, as much as you drill fielding the ball and throwing the ball, it's just sometimes they make it a lot harder than it needs to be. So I was just talking about before, I'm like, Rodon makes his pitch, he gets the ground ball, it's supposed to be an out more than not. Throw the ball where Peraza and Volpe back to back, that's inexcusable, but it gets excused. And as far as the Yankees and their urgency, they had urgency. That's why they lined up Rodon to pitch in this game. They didn't do anything. Gausman dominated them. And then the walks and the errors, you gave them the game. Mistakes. The Toronto Blue Jays are a team that you give them an inch, they will take a mile. You make a mistake, they make it larger. And that's all they'll need to beat you. They don't need to score... You know, they don't need to score 10 runs to beat you. They could open the can of whoop-ass like we did see them do with George Springer. And, they could do that. But, I remember Michael Kay, and it's funny. I wasn't listening to the broadcast today because I was listening to the Mets call. But Michael Kay goes back to Toronto after what he had said before the first series against Toronto about, look at the run differential. Toronto's not that good of a team. Even I disrespected them. Even I, on this station. I think it was Neil from Irvington who called me 2 weeks before the Blue Jays series and said that the Blue Jays are going to beat the Yankees. And I'm like, nah. Nah. With who? With who? Miles Straw? Leo Jimenez? Addison Barger? Well, now everybody knows who Addison Barger was, but a few weeks back, I was like, nah, no shot. Let's go to Jagger in Manhattan on the Fan. What's up, Jagger?
Hey, man. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's crazy. It's crazy to hear all these other Yankees fans. I think we all agree. I think, honestly, like you said, this is not a championship team. I just think we should just flip whatever players we can, pull, Trent, even Williams, have a conversation. Does he want to be a Yankee next year? If not, you know, maybe just trade him too and see what we can get out there. Trying to have a conversation with Judge, apologize for him for this year, and just start focusing for next year. This is not the team. It's like you said.
Yeah. They're not going to talk to Devin Williams about next year. Devin Williams, I can guarantee you, they're not going to trade because he has actually become the closer that they wanted him to be when they traded for him. Not for nothing, bro.
Yeah.
Caleb Durbin, no. Caleb Durbin. Yankees Twitter is on it. They're like, Caleb Durbin is already better than Volpe. I'm like, oh, nah, say it ain't so.
I watched that L.A. game the other day where he had two RBIs.
Yeah, he is nice, though. He is kind of clutch. He started off kind of slow, but he's a whole rookie. But now the Brewers are hot. They're like, they've got the best record in baseball. Or they did. Let me refresh the standings and see if they won today.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But
still the best record in baseball. 10-game win streak.
He's a contact guy. And I'm just like, man, why? Like, that's the guys we got to keep. We need contact guys. But, you know, like I said, I agree what you say. I think I agree what you say. This is not a championship team. I just think maybe we really should consider kind of
yeah, they won't be in between, though. We're in between, Jagger. They won't be in between. Thanks for the call, bro. 888-808-1019. They're not going to do that. They're buyers all the way. Now, there is an opportunity for them to do some things where they sell off. Like if you go back to 2022, them selling off a starting pitcher in the rotation like Jordan Montgomery to get Harrison Bader in a walking boot, hoping that he would be ready for the run through the postseason, and he was, you know. They could look at the roster and say, we have too many guys. Like, they could move Ben Rice if they want to move Ben Rice. I would rather you move Paul Goldschmidt. They could move Jason Dominguez. I'd rather you move Trent Grisham. You know, there's just too many guys right now where, like, they do got to get to a point at the end of the year that they have more of a set lineup. It does help. And there isn't so much musical chairs every day. And they got to look in the mirror and get real. Have some urgency. Call a spade a spade. Guys aren't good enough. Guys aren't cutting it, you know? If you're going to go for it, then go for it. They're going to go for it. There's no talking to Judge. Devin Williams is going to be your closer. There's no telling Judge, hey, maybe next year. They're going to go for it. They're not going to waste a year of any of these guys' careers. But a lot of us just feel like they need so much, and there's so many of these little issues fundamentally that go wrong. Like, that's not something that they can fix overnight or into, you know, October.